From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's June the 12th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. And then we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bill Mayer at the Grain Elevator, located in Lexington. In agricultural news, a U.S. senator has proposed banning index funds from trading in the commodity markets. And the U.S. Secretary of Energy is warning Congress not to overreact to the food v. fuel debate. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. And then, as promised yesterday, we'll hear what the soil fertility specialist at Illinois has to say about yellow corn and adding nitrogen to waterlogged fields. At the end of this half hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. And it all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580 Public Radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this in the wheat pit. July contract down 18 cents today, $8.51 the settlement price. September at $8.68, down 17 and a half. And December futures at $8.91.5, down 17.5. July corn futures $7.09 up 5.75. September at $7.22.75 up 6 cents for the day. And December up 6.75 at $7.39.5. March contract $7.52.75 up 5.75. July soybean futures 20 cents higher, $15.36.5 the settlement price. August at $15.38 up 18.75. September at $15.23.5 up a dime. And November soybeans $15.12.5 up 3.5 cents. July bean meal futures at $4.02.20 up 3.70. July bean oil at $66.20 up 1.20. June live cattle, still no settlement prices from the Merck, so this is the last trade of the day. Oh, here the settlement prices dropped in. $94.82.5 the settlement, up 37.5 for the June live cattle. August futures at $101.60 a settlement there, up 75 cents. August feeder cattle, $109 and a nickel, up 22.5 on the day, and the settlement for the September feeders at $111.10 up 55. June lean hog, $73.47.5 down 50 cents on their settlement price. And July futures at $73.07.5, down 55 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Public Radio on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets are doing at this hour. July crude oil futures at $136.96 a barrel, up 58 cents. The August futures at $137.70, 72 cents higher for the day. July ethanol, $2.69. That's up 7 cents for the day. August futures at $2.70, up 6 and 5 tenths of a cent. Natural gas futures are trading at $12.82 and 2 tenths, up 16 and 2 tenths. The August at $12.89, up 14 and a tenth for the day. Heating oil futures, diesel fuel, $3.95 and 5 tenths, down 19 and 5 tenths. The August contract at $3.98 even. That's down 1 and 9 tenths for the day. July propane at $169 and 9 tenths for the day. The August at $170 and 5 tenths. Gold futures, nearby contract, June at $869.20, up rather down $10.50 at this hour. And July futures at $870 and a dime, down $10.80 for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 12,135. It's just about 52 points higher on the afternoon. And the dollar at 73.84 is up 0.63 for the day. A tornado watch is in effect for northern Illinois and extreme northwestern Indiana. That until 8 o'clock this evening. Flash flood watch is in effect for much of northern Illinois into Friday morning. Here's what Ed Kieser says the weather will be like tonight in the north and central parts of Illinois. He says mostly cloudy, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms, heavy rainfall possible in northern Illinois and central Indiana and the south. Partly to mostly cloudy, a few isolated showers and thunderstorms will be possible. Lows this evening, says Ed, from 60 in the far northwestern Illinois to 73 in the south. And tomorrow, Ed says, mostly cloudy skies, clusters of showers and thunderstorms. Highs ranging tomorrow from 77 in northwestern Illinois to 88 in the south. Complete details on the ag weather forecast just after the bottom of the hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Let's talk about this marketplace. What a couple of days it's been, an early part of the week. Big day up yesterday. I suppose you might have something to say about that and where we're headed from this point in both corn and soybeans?
Well, we've had a good 2 weeks, really. You need to maybe go on vacation more, Todd. I think the growing season, we've started off with such a rough start, and there is so many uncertainties that this growing season has stimulated now, that I think the underlying fundamentals of the market are going to stay very strong until some of these uncertainties are resolved. And you look at the calendar and you say, well, when can some of these uncertainties, especially number one is planted acres, be resolved? We'll start with a June 30th report. USDA will give us a planted acreage number. How high a confidence the trade will put USDA's number, that'll be the question. I think they'll want to know exactly when the survey was made, how much was actually seen and whatnot, because it's clear that a lot of these acres are not going to be planted by June 30th, and if they're not planted by June 30th, do they go into a crop, or do they just stay idle for the rest of the growing season? So the market's going to want to see that, and then I don't think the market is really going to be satisfied until you see some kind of measured yield estimate out of USDA, and that's not going to really come until August. So, it's hard to kind of visualize that this market would, fall apart, just roll over and die until some of those issues are resolved. So I think the market's in some pretty good hands in here.
Speaking of vacation time, I seem to recall the market goes up when you go on vacation. When are you headed out?
I'm going to be gone here. I will be gone during the report. I will be in Texas that week of June 30th and through the July 4th. So I guess fasten your seatbelts in front of that June report, I guess.
No, I think you need to fasten your seatbelts whether we're here or not for that report.
This market, a lot of the cyclical stuff and some of the exotic stuff that I look at, trying to come up with some kind of summary of it. It kind of feels like you're three wide going into number one turn in Indianapolis at 240 mile an hour, and you're going to pass traffic because we are in some time counts, some time windows in here that could get a little cluttered, a little choppy, a little nerve-wracking. I think longer term we'll probably okay to the upside.
Well, if you make the big turn three wide, how high can it go?
Well, those are the questions that get market analysts in trouble. I've been there two or three times. I think I made the front page of the Champaign Gazette back in 1988 saying that the market could go to a certain level, and people still remind me of that number.
Yeah.
But I think that, we've gone to $7 here relatively easy. And I think when you look at the yield potential, acreage loss on corn, there's a lot of people talking about $9 and,
yeah,
eight something. And at this point in time, I really don't see anything that's going to get in its way. I mean, if it wants to go to $8, it's going to go to $8.
Yeah.
So the beans are kind of in that camp that they want to go higher too. And there's an awful lot of talk about $18 soybeans. And it wouldn't surprise me that we have that much power to go there. We're working supply-demand tables of the U.S. crop right now, and that's why outside influences don't have as much as impact as maybe they did here earlier in the calendar year. The bean market needs to stay firm to encourage as many late planted season beans as it can, as many double crop soybeans as it can. You know, wheat harvest is still 10 to 15 days out. So these double crop beans are going to be real late, and when you start planting beans after July 1, yield potentials become fairly marginal. And even with the full season beans, we've got 40% of the full season beans that are kind of a mid-season bean this year because of the planting delays. So I think when you look at the supply and demand table on beans at 42 bushels per acre, I think that's rich at this point. I think it's doable, but it's rich. And if you start bringing that down to 40 or 39, even with an extra million or so acres, you got a very tight balance sheet. So I think the food situation here, food supplies are very, very tight, and I think they're going to be well supported.
When you take a look at the corn, what can stop it? And I guess my first question really is on the worldwide wheat supply. Is that big enough to hold the price of corn down to any respect?
No, corn prices is going to stop when you get the end users to cry uncle. And we really haven't seen a lot of that. It appears that $8 maybe will get the ethanol plants to cry uncle. Somewhere in here, you would think with this run-up here over the past week in corn that the livestock people are starting to cry uncle. But you're going to have to see some form of cutback in demand, and that's what the function of the market here is, because supply is not going to increase anymore here in the United States. Actually, the tables are actually shrinking because we got such a poor start to the crop. And like I said, we don't know exactly what the acres are. The 86 million, you know, that USA gave us in March, they could be wrong by 2 million on that. We could be starting out at 88, we end up at 86, or if we're at 86, we end up at 84. So that's why there's so many uncertainties that I think, but there's enough concern when you talk to people across the Corn Belt, especially your main states of Iowa and Illinois, that we got a problem on our hands with this corn crop.
Well, the second question then is, who cries uncle first? Is it the livestock industry, or is the integration from top to bottom enough to keep it running, or is it the ethanol side?
Well, that I don't know, but the ethanol thing is in trouble. I think Washington is going to do something. I mean, the executive branch, the congressional branch, they're just beside themselves with these ratcheting up energy prices, ratcheting up food prices, and they're going to act to give a perception to the American people that they're doing something. Now, my guess is they'll probably make it worse, but they're going to do something. I don't think it's a matter of if they're going to do something. It's a matter of when they do it and how they do it and what they do about it is our concern. So we'll have to just kind of take one week at a time on that one.
All right. We thank you for being with us today.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group. He's out of Decatur, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Thursday afternoons.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
In agricultural news, U.S. Senator Joe Lieberman says next week he'll propose a ban on large institutional investors, including index funds, from trading in the commodity markets. Lieberman, chair of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, is holding a hearing on June 24th to examine whether financial speculation is affecting the prices of crops and fuel. Lieberman is also calling for a ban on investment banks from using regulated futures markets to hedge speculative bets their clients make in the unregulated global swaps market. Lieberman says he'll also explore whether limits on speculative positions are needed. South Korea's top trade official is coming to the U.S. for talks on the issue of American beef. Kim Jong-un says he will try to get the U.S. to voluntarily agree not to ship meat from cattle older than 30 months. The U.S. says it has no plan on renegotiating an April deal that places no age restrictions on South Korean beef imports from the U.S. But USDA says U.S. producers are welcome to label the age of their beef at the time of slaughter. Deputy Director Chuck Connor.
The U.S. suppliers want to supply that product by those specifications. That's a private commercial transaction that we don't intend to interfere with and have no opposition to. But having said that, we have national protocols that we have negotiated with the Korean government, and we do not intend to renegotiate those protocols.
Yesterday, the entire South Korea governmental cabinet volunteered to resign over the beef issue. U.S. Energy Secretary Samuel Bodman says that crop production for biofuels is playing only a small role in global food supply and pricing. In a letter to the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee, Bodman cautioned Congress against making, quote, judgments driven by highly questionable agenda-driven calculations. The North Dakota congressional delegation is asking the Federal Trade Commission to investigate the causes behind the rapid rise in fertilizer prices. The delegation also wrote a letter to USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer requesting an identical investigation. The letter says in part, quote, farming is barely keeping up with increased farm input costs. North Dakota lawmakers want to know if producers are being gouged for fertilizer. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming here at WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Congratulations going out now to the brand new 2008-2009 state FFA officers. They were elected by delegates at the 80th Illinois State FFA Association Convention. Last night, the officers are President Clay Zwilling of Sherrard FFA, Vice President Austin Ashby of West Carroll FFA out of Savannah, reporter Ben Ardeman of Blue Ridge FFA from Bellflower, Secretary Andrew Havner of Valmeyer FFA, and Treasurer Annie Larson. She's from the Indian Creek FFA in Chabanaw. The five were elected from a group of 10 candidates. The state officers will take a year off from college to serve the Illinois Association FFA, representing more than 17,000 Illinois FFA members in 298 chapters. Now up next, you know cornfields around the Midwest are waterlogged and farmers are worried their crops are suffering a lack of nutrition. I'll have more with the soil fertility specialist from the University of Illinois. Corn needs plant food to thrive. The three primary fertilizers are N, P, and K, or nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. When corn is starved of nitrogen, it turns yellow. It also turns yellow when there's too much rain, says University of Illinois soil fertility specialist Fabian Fernandez.
A lot of the yellowing in the corn actually is due to the amount of water that we have in the soils. The roots really need oxygen in order to perform and to work, to both take water and nutrients. And also the sunlight has been pretty low with so much cloudiness. And so a lot of that could be related to the weather. If it is related to nitrogen, the best way to test that is by doing strips, applying a strip with nitrogen and seeing how the corn responds. If the corn responds well, then you know that you probably need a little bit more nitrogen.
Well, farmers in the Midwest are likely to have to wait a bit to put out those test strips because of the muddy, wet conditions, but the reaction time is short. If the strip turns green, then it would be a good idea to feed the crop a little in.
The research has shown that until V5, you really don't get any reduction in yield due to nitrogen, so you can wait until then, fairly certain that you will do okay. After that, corn starts taking up nitrogen very quickly, and a lot of nitrogen, and so your chance of improving yield or decreasing yield due to the lack of nitrogen starts to increase. Definitely, if you need to apply nitrogen, you need to do it before tasseling at the latest. At that point, there is not really a need to apply nitrogen. The plant won't really benefit from that application.
So to recap the U of I soil fertility specialist recommendations, for the most part, he says it's unlikely the corn crop will need additional nitrogen fertilizer. Certainly, N has been lost to denitrification. A farmer should do test strips. If they turn green, then go ahead and add the nitrogen. It's hard to say how many pounds are necessary. The N can be applied all the way up to just prior to tasseling, but it would be best to get it done and on before the corn reaches the V8, or 8-leaf stage. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's a Thursday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Urbana-Champaign Public Radio on the Land Grant Institution in Illinois, U of I. Online with us this afternoon to take a look at what's been happening in the cash grain market is Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, things are drying out. I bet a few farmers are moving around there. Did they have much work left to do?
Yeah, we still got a pretty good chunk of beans to put in yet. I noticed last night going home after work that there's a lot of ground getting worked yesterday evening. Probably not in the most ideal conditions, but they're making some progress again. Now you get north of here, it's a little bit wetter still.
I saw some field work happening today, and my videographer, Steve Parker, my partner on the video side, I suppose, went out this morning, and he was going to put video to the story that you just heard, and did happen to catch somebody who was side-dressing some corn, but that was for the very first time that they were putting anhydrous on, not the second one. We better talk a little bit about the cash basis and all the water that we have had. It's playing havoc, maybe, with the river?
Yeah, the basis is weakened this week, as you would expect, you know, with the higher prices. The exception to that is the Gulf, and the SIF market is pretty hot, trying to get enough grain down there to cover the needs of the exports. So it really depends. It's really a location-to-location situation. Like, for example, they're in your area where you've got a railroad that gets down to the Gulf, the basis is really pretty good here. And then you get some other areas where it's closer to the river where we've seen it fall off. And like I say, with the futures up like they are, some of it is just we'll let the futures do the work, not the cash market. So pretty variable. The barge freight is up a lot, like 100 to 150% here this week, too. Mm-hmm. So.
You know, I asked Dan which would go first, whether it would be the livestock industry or ethanol industry. I didn't ask him about exports. What do you think about it? Will they start to fail?
I think the exports are not in too bad a shape, mainly because of the dollar. But I guess I'd answer your other question, livestock would be. I think I'm already starting to see some of that out here.
And your bids for the day there?
660 on corn, 679 for new crop, 1506 for beans, 1427 for new crop.
Bill, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bill Mayer is with Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Thursday afternoons. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Pete Levitt about the agricultural weather forecast for the afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
It's National Peanut Butter Cookie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1897, Carl Elsner patented the Swiss Army knife. The original was called a soldier's knife. It had a wooden handle and featured a cutting blade, a screwdriver, a can opener, and a punch. Elsner was not happy with his original design, and after 5 years of experimentation, he managed to put blades on both sides of the handle using a special spring mechanism. He added a second cutting blade and a corkscrew. Today, you can get the Swiss Army knife with a laser pointer and a detachable USB flash drive. In 2004, a federal judge upheld a rule issued by USDA, which declared that frozen batter-coated French fries are fresh vegetables. The judge stated that the term fresh vegetables was ambiguous. By the way, in 1981, USDA tried to classify ketchup and pickle relish as vegetables so that schools could cut out a serving of cooked or fresh vegetables from hot lunch program child nutrition requirements. The idea was met with public outrage, and USDA ended up with ketchup on its face. The plan was never implemented. And in 2007, a number of international organizations joined in Rome to sign a document pledging to work against child labor in agriculture. Worldwide, agriculture is the sector where the largest share of working children is found. And that's this day in agricultural history.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is meteorologist Peter Levitt. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Tom.
Weather here in our part of the world is clear at least this afternoon, but it's not going to stay that way, is it?
No, I'm afraid it isn't. And, of course, part of the problem is that it's that same clear skies that's letting heat get pumped in ahead of an active frontal system over eastern Iowa, and that's going to trigger showers and thunderstorms, and the instability in the lower atmosphere has increased to the level that there is sufficient air to expect that there may be some tornadic activity with this system. And so right now the northern third, I guess, of Illinois pretty much is in a tornado watch area for activity this afternoon into the evening hours. And I don't think they'll be particularly numerous, but there will be showers, thunderstorms with wind gusts and all the stuff that's usually associated with severe storm forecasts. So people in that area and to the north and west, right up into southern Wisconsin, eastern Iowa, should be on the alert for severe weather and severe weather warnings if they are issued for the immediate vicinity.
Yeah, those tornado watch in effect until 8 p.m. this evening for northern Illinois and extreme northwestern Indiana. For those listening to this program tape delayed, that would be Taylorville WTIM. We record at, this is about 2:30 p.m. in the afternoon. You hear it tape delayed 3 hours later, I think. So you might check that. But nonetheless, it will be rough skating over the next 24 to 48 hours. Is that right, too?
Yeah, I think so, because this is just the prefrontal activity, and the frontal system is moving very slowly eastward. So during the afternoon and evening, it fires up and you get all of this activity. And then late at night, it starts to decline and diminish. And then we'll resume the next day being tomorrow, Friday. The front will be over western Illinois, and there will be showers and thunderstorms breaking out again in a band from south-central Missouri right up north through central Illinois and into eastern Wisconsin, and much of northwest Indiana included. So we have another day of showers and thunderstorms. It's too early to tell whether we're going to see another severe outbreak tomorrow, but the activity will continue until it lets up tomorrow night and into Saturday when we get some clearing for a while. But then the pattern is such that we're not going to stay in fair weather very long. It's going to cool off. We're not going to see temperatures as warm as they are today. These temperatures today getting up into the low 90s in much of south and central Illinois and even in northeastern Illinois. They'll be back in the 70s tomorrow and 70s and maybe up into the 80s briefly next week. But we'll have much cooler weather next week. But I don't see any extended dry pattern for you at all.
Well, I wish at some point we could stop the rainfall, but about the time it stops, we'll probably be wishing that it starts up again.
That's just exactly it. You know, don't be careful of what you wish for, because sometimes these patterns, when they shift, they stop on a dime, and you don't get much change back if it goes dry on you.
We will talk with you again next Thursday, Pete.
Yes, we will.
All right, Pete Levitt, meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Thursday afternoon. If you'd like to hear what Pete had to say again, you can do that right there on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. You can listen to the program as an MP3 file or sign up to have it delivered to your computer as a podcast. While you're there, please sign up for our weekend newsletter. It's free. Hit the subscribe button on the right side of the page. I'm Todd Gleason.